Okay, thank you, Brother Romans. Well, if you will, open your Bible tonight to the book of the book of Psalms, chapter number 68. Psalms chapter number 68 tonight. We're going to begin the lesson there. As always, let me remind you and ask you to please hold your questions until we have finished the study. Once we've finished the lesson tonight, we'll be glad to take any questions or comments that you have in relation to the lesson. And then after that, we'll be glad to throw out the time for some open discussion of anything that you might wish to talk about. Psalms chapter number 68. Now, we looked at part of this passage last week in our first message in this series, Portraits of the Second Coming. Psalms chapter 68, and we started in verse 1. We read this portion of it last time. It says, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." So here you see in this 68th Psalm, this passage is discussing the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. Again, this is not the rapture. The rapture is what brings to a close the dispensation of the grace of God in which you and me are now living. In this dispensation of grace, God is forming a group of people called the church, the body of Christ. And when this dispensation of grace is ended and God calls the ambassadors home, that will be the event of the rapture. So the issue that we're studying tonight is action. 18 is where we want to focus our attention now very carefully. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them," notice it carefully, "as in Sinai in the holy place." Now verse number 17 is a clear reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he talks about the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. "The Lord is among them," notice, "as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, and thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." So you see, this is a second coming passage looking to the event of Christ returning and coming back to this earth. And notice that what the little part of verse 17 that turns you back to the event in the past is in that 17th verse when it says, "as in Sinai, in the holy place." So what happened in Mount Sinai when Israel came out of the Egyptian bondage and they traveled up to the mountain? This passage says that that is a portrait of the second coming, that the events which took place there at Mount Sinai, that is a portrait of Christ's second coming. Those same events are going to take place again at the second coming of the Lord back to the earth. And so the whole Psalm 68 is looking back to events in the past, but also is telling you that these events that happened in the past are prophetic of his second coming. So what I want you to do is turn back with me now to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, and I want you to look with me as we discover the things that happened on Mount Sinai and see how they paint for us a picture of the second coming. The book of Exodus, chapter number 19. Exodus chapter number 19. And we'll begin reading in verse number 9. Exodus chapter 19, verse number 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, I want you to notice the word in the verse number 11. It says, to be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord, notice, will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So there you have the connection to our Psalm 68 passage, where God is going to come down. God came down. You know, sometimes you hear people talk about, well, I just don't believe that Jesus Christ would ever come back to this earth. Well, you know, God has been to this earth many times. There are various times in the Old Testament Scripture that God came down to this planet. And so He's been here a lot of times. When Jesus Christ came, His incarnation, that was not the first time that He had ever been here. So God has been here on this planet many different times. And the ideal that it's somehow far-fetched for the Lord Jesus Christ to return and come back to the earth again is just absolute nonsense. There's nothing far-fetched about it at all. Because God has been here before. God came down upon Mount Sinai. And notice when He says He did it in the sight of all the people. Now what does that remind you of? That reminds you all to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7. Just hold your place there in Exodus and turn back just for a moment to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter number 1. So God came down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." Now, unlike the rapture, when Christ comes in the rapture, that is an event that's going to take place in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and it's going to be over and done with, and the church, the body of Christ, is going to be caught out, and we'll be out of here and gone. And the second coming back to the earth, however, is an event which is going to take some amount of time. It's not something that's going to be over just like the snap of your finger. It's an event that will take some time. And in this event, He comes with clouds, and ever I shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. So just as God came down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, so at His second coming, He will come down to this earth in the sight of men. And notice the first part of the seventh verse says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." And you recall that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud." Notice that issue of Him coming in a, He comes down on Mount Sinai in a thick cloud. And Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, He cometh with..." Chapter 19, verse 9 says, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud." So He's coming with clouds. And what we're going to see here tonight in the passage, again, as I said, this passage in Exodus, the events here, is going to give for us a portrait in great detail of the second coming. And I trust already that you're seeing the verses here that give us connection to that event. Now let's pick it up here and continue to read in Exodus chapter 19, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Now, did y'all hear my commentary on that verse, or did you lose me before I said anything about that verse? Lost, so you didn't hear nothing I said. Okay. What the verse is doing for us, again, as we saw from Psalm chapter 68, The event of God coming down here on Mount Sinai gives us a paints a portrait for us of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to the earth. And what you're beginning to get here in verse number 16 is the fact that when Christ came down, when God came down on Mount Sinai back here in the book of Exodus, that what happened was that it was just like a great thunder and lightning storm that came down on the mountain. And so there was thunder, there was lightning, there was a thick cloud upon the mount, as though it was, as though the coming of God down upon Mount Sinai was just like a great storm that began to take place. And you've seen people, some folks are very frightened of thunder and lightning storms. Now myself, I'm not very much bothered by that. But there have been storms that have been so bad that even I have at times, you know, been frightened by a thunder and lightning storm, though normally they would not bother me. But sometimes you get some that are just so severe, and there are just such loud thunder and so much lightning, and perhaps the wind is blowing. And so you see that what this passage is going to help us to understand, and what we're going to study tonight about the second coming of Jesus Christ, every natural weather phenomenon that occurs on this planet today is going to take place at the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus back to the earth. Again, every natural weather phenomenon that occurs on the planet today will happen at His second coming. So here you see the thunder and the lightning and the thick cloud. You hear the voice of the trumpet blowing exceeding loud. And notice the response of the people that was in the camp. They trembled. So they were afraid. This event, this thick cloud, this thunder, this lightning was of such severity that these people were afraid and they trembled. And verse 17 says, Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. I mean, they got down at the furthest reaches of the mount. They got back and moved away just as far away as they could get. And so they, because they were afraid of all this thunder and this lightning and this thick cloud that they could visibly see. And remember, this is just like Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, that behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. So men are going to have, when Jesus Christ returns in His second coming, we studied last week about the issue of Him coming in flaming fire. But as I said to you then, that there is just too much that's going to go on at the second coming of the Lord back to the earth, that no one passage can describe all of these various and different events to us. And when He comes back, it's going to be just like a great, tremendous storm as He comes to this planet and comes back to the earth. Continue reading verse number 18. It says, And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Now that, of course, is part of what we studied last week, the issue of Christ coming back in flaming fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Notice that issue of the mount quaking, an earthquake. And it quaked greatly. Now myself, I've never experienced anything of that nature. We don't really get too many earthquakes here in Tennessee. Occasionally we'll have a few tremors and maybe a very light something or other, you know, on the Richter scale, not nothing too severe. Perhaps some of you live in California or some other place where they experience earthquakes and things of that nature on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, those things happen oftentimes, and especially in some of the third world nations where the building codes are not as strict as they are here in the U.S., and oftentimes there are many, many people that die as a result. So what you're seeing here, you're seeing the storm, you're seeing the thunder, you're seeing the lightning, you're seeing the mountain quakes. It's the ground, the earth is going to quake. And notice verse number 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. That trumpet's going to sound louder and louder. And, you know, a loud noise like that, when you hear something and it just keeps getting louder and louder, what does it do? Well, I'll tell you what it does. It scares the britches off of you. That's what it does. And that's what it did to these people back here. When they began to see all of this thunder, the lightning, and that mountain began to quake, and the ground began to shake under their feet, and when they heard that trumpet just go to sounding louder and louder, it just scared them to death, folks. And I'll tell you something, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth is going to be a frightening event for the people that are on this planet when that day comes. It is going to be an event the likes of which the world has never seen. And it's going to flat scare people, just going to scare them to death. And we'd say just scare the britches off of them. Verse 20, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now come on down and you'll see it again in Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20, and notice verse number 18. And all the people saw the thunders and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. I mean, they got a real fireworks show, as we'd say. And they got the thunder, there's the lightning, there's the noise of the trumpet, they got the mountain smoking because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and they saw that fire come down out of the sky just like it will at the second coming of the Lord Jesus, and it come down on that mountain, and all of that smoke began to boil and began to come forth from it because it set things on fire when it came down, and the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. But you just look at that 18th verse and just let it just paint a portrait for you in your mind. And just imagine and think about all of the things that verse tells you about what's going to happen at the second coming of the Lord. And it's just going to be like a tremendous storm. And it's going to be a frightening event. Let's go and see some other passages in the Word of God about this issue. Come back to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter number 38. And this is a passage here that just absolutely just blows my mind. The book of Job, chapter number 38. Job, chapter number 38. And we want to look in verse number 22. Job, chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verse number 22. Now notice the passage. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Now notice the 23rd verse, and this is a verse that just blows your mind. He says, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. Now folks, there is no question whatsoever about that passage. He asked the question of, have you seen the treasures of snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Notice what the first part of verse 23 says, which I have reserved. You know, in any situation where there's a little battle, you know, and you have those reserved, and you know, if you get into a situation in wartime, and if you don't have enough ammunition, and you don't have enough bombs and materials and things of that nature in order to finish the job and complete the battle, if you run out, the enemy's going to win. And folks, that's a tremendous verse there in that passage. Where you see that God says that He has reserved, He has treasures of snow, He has treasures of hail, which He's reserved against the time of battle, a time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. And folks, there ain't no question whatsoever about what this passage is referring to. It's referring to the issue of Christ's second coming. And it's referring to the issue of that day of the Battle of Armageddon. That God has reserved snow and has reserved hail against that time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. Folks, that verse just blows my mind. That when Christ comes, it's going to snow. It's going to hail. It's going to thunder. It's going to lightning. There's going to be rain. There's going to be fire out of the sky. All these things. Every weather phenomenon that you can think of, we're going to see in the verses tonight. And it's just an amazing thing. And you say, well, how can all of that go on at one time? Well, the second coming of Jesus Christ is not an event that's just, it's not something that's just confined to the issue of the Middle East. And I mean, it's an event that certainly is focused on that. It's certainly focused in the Middle East. But there's a passage there in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 25, verse 33, that says the slain of the Lord are going to be from one end of the earth to the other. And, you know, in climates where it's cold, what happens when there's moisture and there's a cloud and there's the storms and so forth? It snows. Other places it rains. What happens? It hails. And wherever the climate's appropriate, it's going to snow. And wherever the weather conditions are appropriate, it's going to hail. And so forth. So you see here that God's got snow, He's got hail, and he notice He's got it reserved. Now when He says that, He's not saying that up there in heaven somewhere He's got big piles of snow and big piles of hail. But it was back in the days of Noah. You remember that He opened up the fountains of the great deep when He rained down. Somebody said, well, where in the world could all that much water come from? If it rained 40 days and 40 nights, where in the world could all that water come from? Well, God opened up the fountains of the great deep. And in order to produce that kind of rainfall, and what you see here in these verses is that God has got snow, He's got hail and all this reserve, and God is gonna call on the resources of water, and probably gonna open the fountains of the great deep again to produce some of this. But He's got this reserved. He says He's got it reserved against the day of battle, just like we would stockpile ammunition or we would stockpile bombs or something of that nature. God's got it in reserve, waiting for the day of His second coming. Now, you've never seen snow like you're going to see on that day of His coming. And hail, and lightning, and thunder, and rain, and all of these things. It's going to be a show like the world has never seen, and a storm the likes of which the world has never witnessed. When He comes again. And folks, as I look at these verses, that's just the best way I know how to tell you what these verses are describing for you. And the picture that this is painting for you of His second coming. Let's see it again. Look in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29. I'm sorry, I must have wrote down the wrong verse for that one. Come back to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Judges chapter number 5. Judges chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse number 4. Judges chapter 5, verse 4. This is the song of Deborah that we're going to be reading here. He says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. Notice that. And again, folks, this is a passage just like in the one in Psalms and the others that we've been looking at. It's talking about events that have happened back here, but again, it's prophetic of the second coming. And he talks about when he went out of Seir, when he marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, the clouds dropped water, so there's rain. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. So when he was there on that mountain, I mean, when there was all that thunder and that lightning and stuff going on, and there was rain as well taking place, dropping down out of the thick clouds of the sky. And as I said to you, every weather phenomenon that happens today is going to happen in that day of His second coming. And the mountains melted from before the Lord, even the Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Come back again, and let's turn to the book of Joel. The book of Joel. Joel chapter 2. And this is a passage that we saw when we studied here a few months ago. We studied through the book of Joel, so this was a passage we went over at that time. The book of Joel chapter 2. And we looked at it last week in relationship to studying the flame and fire. But I want you to see it again tonight and think about this issue of the weather phenomenon and all that's going to occur at His second coming. Notice verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, just like they trembled at Mount Sinai. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Notice it's a day of darkness and of gloominess. And you know, folks, what happens when the clouds and it comes a storm? Well, what happens to the sun? Well, it's behind the clouds and it gets dark. And I remember a trip that I made a couple of years ago now, I guess, to Ridge Farm up Brother Morris Chestnut's and preached up there down in September, in the fall of the year. And as my wife and myself, as we were traveling up through there, it come up a storm, and I guess that's probably about the most frightened that I ever was. I never saw a sky look like that before. And it had just the strangest, eeriest color that I ever saw in a sky. And we come to find out that there actually was some tornadoes up there in the area that occurred that day. But I was really getting frightened because I never saw a sky like that. And it was just the strangest color. It was just like, you know, those verses that we just read about the heavens drop. And it was just like the sky just dropped right down, just right above us. And it was just the strangest thing I ever saw. And was getting very frightened. And you know, as I was driving along, I couldn't help, that was back at the time when the movie Twister hadn't been out too long. And, I was thinking about the Twister, and sure enough, there was some tornadoes up in that area that day. But it's that day of His coming is a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. That thick darkness we just read back there, the thick darkness is where God was at, where the thick darkness and the thick clouds. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Come on down to verse number 10. He says, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. I mean, you talk about just putting the lights out. And, you know, there's one of those verses. How do you know? You go out of the daytime, and you've been up in an airplane. Most of you have, I'm sure. And you go up in an airplane in the day, and you can leave the airport, and it'll be all cloudy and rainy, and you get up above the clouds, and the sun's still shining. It's still there, but it's just blotted out by the clouds. And, you know, you go out on nights where it's cloudy, and there's no moonlight, there's no starlight. It's all put out because of the clouds that are in the sky. And he talks about that the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon being dark, and the stars withdraw their shining. It's all been put out because of the clouds in the sky. And you've never seen a sky like that will be on that day of His second coming. Look with me in the book of Nahum. Just turn right on over from Amos, just a little short distance there. I'm sorry, from Joel. And you'll run in there to the book of Nahum, chapter number 1. Nahum, chapter number 1. Nahum, chapter number 1, verse number 2. We'll start there. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Notice that little statement. I mean, that's a, well, you talk about a frightening statement that is. That God is jealous, and what he's talking about there is that issue of God says to Israel, he says, have no other gods before me. The Lord whose name is jealous. And that is, Israel is his nation, they're his people. And when it says God is jealous, it's not, jealousy in that context is not a negative thing. When you're jealous in that context, it's like a man is the love and the affection of his wife, they belong to him, and he doesn't want that love and affection to be given to anyone else because it's supposed to be his love and affection. And so God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. He revengeth and he's furious. And the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. Notice that issue of him reserving wrath. Just like we talked about earlier, that issue of God reserving snow and hail for the day of his second coming. He's holding back. You've never seen it hail or snow or rain or do any of the things it's going to do like it'll do on that day. And, you know, you look at this passage and he says he reserves wrath. And that ought to remind you of the passage over there in the book of Revelation where Jesus Christ is treading the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he says it's poured into the cup of his indignation, and he says it's poured out without mixture. I mean, it's not cut, it's not diluted, it's nothing held back. The wrath of God poured out in its absolute fullest fury on the people of this planet. On those who are his adversaries, on those who are his enemies, he's been reserving and holding back wrath. And friend, when that wrath, when it breaks forward, it's going to be something else. Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way, notice, in the whirlwind and in the storm. That whirlwind, folks, that's a tornado. He's got his way in the whirlwind. It's in the tornado and in the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. So just look at the picture that verse is painting for you of his second coming. There's the whirlwind, there's the storm, there's the clouds that are the dust of his feet. All of those things that we see that happens in the natural weather phenomenons of this earth are going to happen when he comes. So there's the tornado, there's the storm, there's the clouds. Verse 4 says, he rebuked, skip verse 4, verse 5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, so the earthquake, and the earth is burned in his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And you know, you see the hills when God begins to shake the mountains. And that passage over there in Isaiah chapter 13 says the earth will reel to and fro through the heavens like a drunk man, like a drunkard. And you've seen a drunk try to stand up and seen him try to walk through the air, ain't you? And he just pitches one way and then another and back and forth and on he goes. And that verse says the heavens will reel to and fro. I mean, just back and forth, it'll reel just like a drunk man will. And when the Lord begins to come and these weather phenomena begin to happen and the earthquake begins to happen, the rocks are going to be thrown down. I mean, God's going to shake this place, folks. He's going to shake this planet. and the rocks are thrown down, and just rock slides, and the trees and the things of that nature have come sliding down off the mountainside. Come back with me, if you will, to the book of Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah. Chapter number 1. Zephaniah, chapter number 1. And we'll look down in verse number 14. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now you just imagine, folks, you just imagine the reaction that men are going to have when they see all this, when they see it hail, and when they see it snow and rain and thunder and lightning and earthquake and tornadoes and all of these things, when they see all and the rocks thrown down, when they see all of this, I mean, you talk about, as I said earlier, just something just absolutely just scare you to death. And it's going to make the mighty man. I mean, not some little weak guy, but you see men that are been in war and things of that nature, and you're talking about men that are hardened battle soldiers and people that deal in that kind of thing oftentimes, people that work in hospitals and see death often, and you know they get hardened to it, and because they deal with it all the time. But you're talking about something, friend, that's going to make these people the mighty man. He's going to cry, that verse says, that he's going to cry there bitterly. I don't know if you should say something like this when you're preaching or not, but it's just going to make them wet their britches, folks. And I tell you, it's going to be something. He says, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. I mean, look at the descriptions of that. It's a day of wasteness and desolation. I mean, folks, we studied last week where he comes back in flame and fire and so forth, but you just imagine the havoc that's going to wreak on the planet and on God's enemies. But just imagine as well then the further these weather phenomenons, the storm, the thunder, the lightning, the rain, the hail, all of these things that we've been talking about. And it's just going to make everything, it's just going to be waste and desolation everywhere. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the defensed cities. And I'll bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. He shall make even a speedy riddance of them that dwell in the land. In the passage, as I said, that when Christ returns in his second coming, every natural weather phenomenon that occurs on this planet today will happen at that time of his second coming back to the earth. And it's going to be a lightning show and a thunder show, and all of these things, the likes of which the world's never seen. An event so terrible, so frightening, and just a day of clouds and darkness, by saying, you know, folks, for us that are saved, that day is a frightening day, even for a saved person to think about, to see all of those things happen. And, you know, for us, the message, the thing in a study like this is, you know, you just look at it and you stand back and just absolute wonder and awe at it. But for us, I think the message and the thing that we need to take away from it is that we have the gospel entrusted to us. And that there are people that you know, that I know, there are people that we know that we come in contact with every day. And friend, we have the gospel message, the message of the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again the third day, that He has paid fully their sin debt, and God offers to men a free gift of eternal life. And we've been entrusted with that message. And the thing that I think a study like this that we ought to take from it is the challenge and the encouragement to reach out to those that we know, that we love, that we work with, and people are friends and neighbors, with the gospel, to try to see them saved. And, you know, God doesn't hold us accountable for the results, but God does hold us accountable for what He's placed in our hands and entrusted us with, and that is the gospel of the grace of God. And so, friend, I hope that looking at this study, I hope that you'd learn some things about the second coming. And just look at the portrait that these verses paint for you about that event. But to take away from it an urgency and a zeal in your heart to realize that, you know, if that friend, that loved one, that neighbor, the person you work with, whoever it is, if they're unsaved, I mean, you don't want them to be here to face that awful day of His second coming, His wrath and judgment. And, you know, you have the message that'll save them from that day when He comes in flaming fire, from that day when He comes in vengeance on His enemies, the wrath that He has reserved for them that He pours out in its fullest fury. It's an awful, awful thing. And I trust that it would encourage us to be faithful with the message of God's wonderful grace. Well, I don't know how I'm going to proceed from here because I can't, I can, I, I